I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's good? Happy Monday. Good afternoon and welcome. This is The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Happy State Bank, alongside the one and only George Christopher Sneed. I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass handling us today. You can also hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, hopes, dreams, reaction to the weekend that was, all of it welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app. You can take that mobile app with you just about anywhere, even listen in out in Stinking Creek, Tennessee. Hey, yo, Sneeder.
What's up? What it do, y'all? What it do?
It do.
It do what it do, baby. How are y'all doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm pretty good. Got UFL game number 3 under the belt yesterday.
What up? Where were you?
I didn't see. D.C.
Easy?
D.C.
That was like, let's see, easy.
D.
Where do I?
The District kind of Columbia.
Slang.
Stinking Creek, Tennessee. Yeah.
Stinking Creek. Oh, so D.C. Okay.
Michigan at D.C.
Okay.
One game left this weekend.
The Whitecaps versus the Defenders.
No, the Panthers.
I got half of it?
You got half of it.
Okay.
Right. The Michigan Panthers, the first ever USFL champion.
So.
Bobby Hebert.
It's Oberg.
No.
Just kidding.
No, he was from Louisiana. He was Hebert.
Just kidding.
Let's see. Who was it? Anthony, who was it? Went on and had a big old NFL career. A receiver. USFL.
What happened to the old the Fighting Bob Stoopers? Weren't they really good last year?
They won the championship last year. So they're doing what they did last year. Last year they were like 4-5.
But they hadn't won a game up till yesterday, right?
Yeah. Well, did they win yesterday?
I didn't see.
That's why I said they won this weekend.
Up till yesterday.
They did win this weekend.
Yeah, I think they were
0-6 going
in.
Last year they were like this bad last year. They got on a run at the end of the season. And then went 4. I guess they were 4-6 in the regular season, and won the last four. Won the last four games. Got in the playoffs as the 2 seed out of their division. Won the playoff game and then won the championship. And they finished with a 6-6 record.
Okay.
And had a trophy.
Yeah, they're 1-6 right now.
Yeah, okay.
But
so they did win yesterday.
They blew out the Showboats.
They're
47-23.
Take that, Memphis.
Exactly what they did last year. It's exactly what they did last year.
Memphis?
Yeah.
And guess who I've got this week?
Arlington.
Yeah, at San Antonio. And San Antonio is fighting for that playoff spot.
The Brahmas, baby.
Yeah, so this
Do we still have any Red Raiders on the Brahmas roster?
I don't know if we have any Red Raiders. I got to say, me and Kiki Kuti had a pretty healthy conversation in pregame. It's nice.
For the Roughnecks?
No.
I didn't know where he's at.
D.C. He's a receiver, punt returner.
I don't know
for
why
DC.
I said Roughnecks when I knew you were in D.C., yeah. But, you know.
Yeah.
It was the Defenders and the
Colin
Panthers.
Schooler.
Remember, you had two choices there.
Yeah. Colin Schooler is a linebacker, special teamer for one of the Renegades. Yeah, the Renegades Arlingtons.
Okay.
And
going.
Garibay is their kicker.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of options there.
He's doing pretty well. So I'm going to go. I'll chat those guys up in pregame. I just walk up to him. Hey, I'm a Red Raider too. Colin Schooler's always, hey.
I'm hunting roster right now.
Yeah, I don't know about San Antonio.
Well, I knew there were a couple of Red Raiders at one point on the Brahmas. I love the Brahmas name. Some big old cows. I don't see any current Red Raiders.
Any current Red Raiders would be here at Texas Tech. Wouldn't they be former Red Raiders?
I don't know. That's always a there's a name. How about Puka Williams Jr. is on the Brahmas?
Oh.
Remember him?
Yeah.
And his one day against Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I guess he had 2 days against Oklahoma, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and it's just that was the only one everyone remembers because it was against Oklahoma. But
he was good.
He had a little...
But that game
I really thought he was going to surprise people and make it for the Bengals, and that just didn't happen.
No.
Not so much. So there's a familiar name.
It's every once in a while, you'll see a name pop up.
Yeah.
Then you go, hey, I remember that guy.
It's kind of like watching the G League, right?
Yeah.
You be like, man, that guy was really good in college.
Yeah.
But then
you'll see a guy like that.
Well, you know.
And that's a really special one because, like, he's a case where he was the only viable football player on a Division I team.
Did he ever transfer 12? Out or did he stay?
No.
He stayed
no,
Kansas
he stuck
through
with
through.
It.
Wow. Hey.
They're dipping into some
he
of that
never,
under the table basketball
never,
money.
Never, ever, ever. Happen again.
No, if he was there on that team,
yeah,
he would have been gone after
that guy,
freshman or sophomore season.
And he'll be banking NIL at some other, you know, Power Five.
Speaking of banking NIL,
that's
great. Osabor, who was on your campus, 7 to 10 days ago?
This wears me out. Just this slick. I'm just
$2 million.
I'm so over this.
It's so funny because. You know, you get the message board people. They're like, how did they let Osabor go? How did Tech not land him?
And we just didn't have a big enough bag.
$2 million to Washington, which is the largest public amount known for any sport at this point.
That's just stupid.
For one season.
I remember being outraged when we found out that the Big Maple was getting 400.
I'm still outraged over that because
I mean,
didn't get $400 out of that guy, not $400K.
I mean, these guys. I remember the first time I see the guy. He's down there. We're getting housed in a game. He's down there at the end of the bench with Pop.
Giggling. Every time you'd see him before a game, he's pounding Cheez-Its. Like, every time, putting on tons of weight.
Yeah.
Is that you think that's like a Canadian snack of choice? Or is it like theirs is specifically the Cheez-It A or something like that?
I don't know if it's Canadian. Uh-huh. Was he Canadian before or did he move to Canada?
I don't care.
Was he Canadian before or
after? You know
what?
He's a $400,000 waste of money is what that guy was. Big fat tub of goo.
Canadian bacon.
Gosh.
Big fat tub of goo. Love it.
Terry Forster.
Oh, so, yeah. Great Osabor.
Yeah.
There's a good reason
you
didn't get him on
campus. I hope that works out for you. I hope you get your $2 million worth out of it. And
I would say $2 million worth is National Player of the Year. Anything less
than
that is
short. I'm expecting Washington.
At least a Final Four?
Yeah.
Yeah, Final Four. Like, seriously, at minimum. If you're going to pay that kind of money for one player, you're first team All-American and Final Four.
I mean,
anything short of that is
if these guys, if that guy doesn't even make all Pac-12 or all Big Ten now, you know, I'm going to be giggling my tail off.
It's crazy, man. Crazy. But it's the world we live in.
That is.
Like it or not.
Yeah, I guess
it's where we are. All right, plenty to get into, including a Tech baseball team that benefited from not playing a game yesterday. Got headlines for you. Coming up next, you're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Monday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Coach Woodman and Chris Sneed joining you from the First United Bank Studio. Plenty of your thoughts rolling in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. What does Tech need to do to make the NCAA baseball tournament?
Win all the games in the Big 12 tournament.
That's all you can do at this point.
Yeah, your RPI is in the mid 50s now. You have a losing conference record, and you are pretty well. You have to win the Big 12 tournament.
The three games you've got in front of you don't matter this week.
They don't.
I mean, in terms of NCAA tournament, I don't think you could win these three and then get to the championship and get in.
No, you have to win the Big 12. You have to win the Big 12 tournament, and even if you did win these three, you got to win the Big 12 tournament. You got to put four games together.
Sneed, how does the beer snake look live?
You know what? They didn't have it wasn't very impressive live. I mean, they had it was Mother's Day. They announced a crowd of 12,200, and I was like, right. Mm-hmm. There was probably about 5,000 people there,
okay. And
they were spread out there. And the section that has the beer snake only went about halfway to the top, so it was as underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, okay. It was underwhelming. It didn't get very far on Sunday. Okay. And, I mean, yeah.
Mumphimpus horse name, whatever I said. I don't even know what I said earlier. My high school O-line coach played at Oklahoma State for Jimmy Johnson, then the Michigan Panthers, then Steelers. He said Anthony Carter is getting steak dinners from the team on the road while I was getting frozen dinners. LOL. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Anthony Carter. That's right. Yeah. AC.
No doubt, Sneed, but he won't be the last. I'm sure there will be more busts for Tech as it goes.
What are you talking about?
Pardoz, I'm sure.
Oh. I know we're in the everything sucks mode right now, but let's face it. Last year, basketball was a super surprise. We did not expect to be where we were. Baseball is a super surprise because we did not expect to be where we are.
100%.
Football, we finished on a high note. We had some injuries that probably kept us from being where we wanted to be.
It underwhelmed. It wasn't a bad season, but it wasn't a good season.
You finished with a bowl win, and you were 7-6, and it was an average year.
A lot of people hoped for 8 or 9 wins, and you got seven.
There were people saying, hey, this team could be in the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
If everyone stays healthy.
Thanks, Brett McMurphy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and
friend of the show.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, he put us against Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. And I think the problem with that is that expectations changed when that happened, you know. And
you were telling people to tap the brakes, and now this season you're saying 12-0, baby.
I did not say 12-0. I said I can make an argument for West for winning every game. And I think at this point, until I see different, I'm going to tell you that Texas Tech can win every game.
Okay.
And I'm right now, am I going to say 12-0? Yes, I just did, 12-0. I'm going to stick with it. Until I see a reason to say no.
Sneed's Kool-Aid making an appearance again.
I'm just kidding. Hey, just kidding. Which team in this league scares you to death? What team? Other than that's on your schedule right now.
I was about to say.
Yeah, Utah scares me to death.
The two that make me nervous. Scared to death is too strong. But the two that are, in my eyes, the best teams are Utah and Kansas State. I don't play either one of them.
So. And the only time I would play either one of them would probably be in the Big 12 championship game, at which time I'm going to be so stinking happy. I'll be happy as pig and slop.
I see you got your K-State colors on today.
These are not K-State colors. This is
There's too much black
navy,
in the lining.
No, it's
closer to TCU.
It's navy blue and magenta. TCU. It's navy blue and magenta.
I can't see. I need to go magenta. I won't. You know, touch the sleeve or be weird like that, like your co-host.
I would never.
But from back here, I need a close-up view because I couldn't see the navy on it.
Should I go Gary Ashby right now?
That's always a dangerous little game, but go for it.
Go Gary Ashby right now.
Oh, okay. This is what he's talking about. Go get up by the camera. Going Gary Ashby is.
Right there.
If our viewers can see on Fox 34 News now, Sneed modeling the purple and navy stripes.
Gary Ashby is, you know, he gets a slap on the wrist for things. The rest of us. See ya!
Yeah, I was just talking like go Gary Ashby in terms of like take my phone up
show,
there and
go show the, show, the
here's
screen,
the picture of a phone here. You know,
there was a wide range of things that could have happened, and I was here for all of it, the entire range.
This from the chat line: How did not playing Tech help Oklahoma State? You mean hurt their RPI? They weren't losing. We had no pitching, and they are rolling.
They have a chance to host, and if we knocked them off somehow,
so it
that would have hurt their chances to host.
Would hurt their RPI, yes. It's no benefit to play the game for them.
They are almost assuredly locked in as a hostess unless they go and they wet their pants this weekend.
Because if they beat you, where they sit in the RPI, not going up, really, or very little. So, yeah, it's... There's a lot worse, a lot more bad that could happen by playing that game than good for Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And the same texter said, Tech's not locked in the 10 spot, could be 9.
Tech is 100% locked in the 10 spot.
You can be in a tie for 9th, and you lose that tiebreak. So you are locked in the 10 seed. You are locked in the 10th.
Sorry.
Yeah, bro. LeBron James.
Whoa, that was aggressive.
Yeah, it was. LeBron James.
Why the aggression there? Did that guy make you mad?
No.
It sounds like he did.
I call everybody bro, pal.
No, you don't. You absolutely don't.
Only when you're
upset. There was some intent with that, bro.
I know.
Either passive aggressive or pure aggressive choice is about to show up when he says bro.
I sent some aggression in that.
Okay.
Bro.
LeBron James' son is still available for Tech to play for Tech in the portal. He's a future NBA player. It'd be cool to have an NBA player on our team. If LeBron doesn't retire soon, he is a future NBA player.
Okay, great.
He's not going to come to Tech. Sorry to burst your bubble there.
The fact that Bronny has been in the portal and is still in the portal.
He got cleared for the NBA today.
He plans to stay in
college?
In the draft.
He plans
to stay in the draft. Yeah, he's not coming back.
He's going to go somewhere, and LeBron's going to follow him. It's that simple. Whether it's the Lakers drafting him or
– second round pick?
No, I think he will be someone will spend a first round pick too high on him.
Wow.
Because you're basically drafting LeBron James is what you're doing.
Atlanta Hawks, number one overall.
Right? I mean, but that's
kidding.
What you're doing.
They're not going to do that.
You're drafting LeBron James at that point. Because even if it's a really old LeBron, the jerseys, everything that comes with LeBron. You may not say, "Hey, we're going to go win a championship this year," but
I saw a report over the weekend that listed the Dallas Mavericks as one of the potential.
Yeah, I've seen one about the Spurs too, and it's just
that would just make me throw up in my mouth.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Popovich want to coach LeBron. Mavericks, I would be more surprised at because they're a contender right now.
Yeah.
They don't need it. Spurs are a few years away with Wembanyama, so. Whose Lines Anyway came to the Lubbock Buddy Hall recently with Ryan Stiles, and it was hilarious live. Okay. Yeah. I saw that, and I thought about going, but I didn't know, like, who would be there. I wouldn't hate it. Who was it earlier this week that was getting grief for – or this year that was getting grief for canceling some games? TCU. TCU canned.
Oh, yeah, they banged a bunch of midweeks.
I think they canned a couple against RGV.
Yeah, because they were RPI hunting.
Yeah.
And they banged a couple. You have to play I think the minimum you can play is 50?
50 games, yeah.
50 games?
Yeah, but there was supposed to be a penalty for canceling games. It was supposed to be.
An RPI penalty?
Yeah, there was supposed to. We haven't seen it enforced anywhere, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Because they still can say, well, both teams agreed to this because weather was in the forecast. Even if weather doesn't hit, there's still loopholes to it. Oh, someone else answered TCU women's basketball. Well, they got grief for it because they didn't have enough players. But I don't think that's what that texter was talking about.
No, we're referring to baseball. But, yeah, their women did. Do that.
All right. More of your thoughts from the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. We'll get to a few of those, a couple of questions there. Kaylee's Dailies coming up next, as well as a word of the day. You got the bottom line. Till 3 o'clock on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point. But taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Rolling on to hour number two. You're hanging out with The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by Happy State Bank. You can take that mobile app just about anywhere with you, even listening up in Skaneateles, New York.
Skaneateles?
Skaneateles? I don't know.
It was like a rival neighborhood for you, wasn't it, Jamie?
Schenectady?
No, not Schenectady.
That's a different place?
Yeah. We're going to go with Skaneateles.
Like Skittles and a neti pot combined.
Skaneateles. It's probably real. It's a good chance of it.
I know that Schenectady was a place.
You think I'm just missaying it really bad?
But I have no idea how you spell it. So I have...
Skaneateles probably is better.
Skaneateles.
Skaneateles, yeah. It is...
It sounds like a word for a doctor trying to make shot sound fun. Like, you just take a little Skaneateles and it's all it is.
Onondaga County.
Onondaga?
There you go! So I definitely said the first one wrong.
Yeah, I think it was Schenectady.
Where do you usually...
What?
Yeah.
Where do you usually find a flea, Jamie?
That's what it says the pronunciation is?
You think you say Schenectady off of Skaneateles?
It's a weird word.
These freaking weird people in New York. God.
Onondaga is not that difficult, though, right? I mean, if you sound it out.
Well, yeah. Some of us are still learning to read, so there's that.
It's right next to Onondaga, right? Dad jokes, 45 minutes from now.
Oh, boy. Boy, howdy. We've covered a lot of topics in the first hour, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Here's a question that we never got to. What would y'all think if Coach Prime in Colorado comes here and beat Tech? Wouldn't like it. Wouldn't be my favorite thing.
You know, it's going to be... I just don't know about that team. I'm so... I don't want to say I'm intrigued by Colorado, but I'm so confused as to guess what they're going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you would think Deion is going to continue to bring in talent... I think they were better than their ultimate record showed last year. They lost some close games against decent teams.
They did.
So I think they were better than 4-8. The Pac-12 was actually a really good football conference last year.
Actually, yeah.
And so I don't know. I just don't think they're going to be horrendous. And I think we all want them to be. I just don't think they're going to be horrible. Now that's a home game, and man, I would hate for us to lose that game.
Well, I think they're going to be similar to what they were last year. Four wins, I'd probably predict them right at a bowl game. They were four wins last year. I'd probably say they're a six-win team.
Yeah, that's kind of where I think they'll be.
They have a ton of turnover again this year.
We've lost to worse teams.
Absolutely, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Here's a random, stupid off-season question for you. Jamie, would you take a 9-3 record right now if your three losses were to Colorado, Oklahoma State, and TCU? I'm trying to pick out the three games you would least like losing.
Yeah, I would.
You take it 9-3 right now?
Yeah, I would.
I think I would too, but
you know,
those would be the hard. To me, those are probably the least palatable losses on the.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say that. Losing to ACU in game one would be pretty horrible.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad. I feel like I want to tell this story. It's somewhat of a personal story for me, but really it's a story about you. So anytime I think of Colorado football against Texas Tech, anytime it's mentioned, all I can think about is you telling us the story. I don't know if this is on air or off air.
Oh, I've told it.
Okay.
I think. If this
you is telling us the story of getting one of your seven concussions.
Uh-huh.
And it made you basically forget things that had happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like I forgot all my immediate memory and then basically the previous few weeks.
Which I've never met anybody who had a concussion that had that issue. Okay? Never.
So if it must have been really bad. 50 First Dates.
Yeah.
10 Second Tom. Was basically what I was for a little bit. No joke. Like, this is, you can ask my parents. I don't remember.
So,
I remember like tiny snippets of that night. being in the hospital and stuff. But
so Choice keeps a pocket schedule of the Red Raiders in his wallet, and he writes down the scores. Writes down the scores. And I guess you had told me that randomly throughout the course of the night, you would look at the pocket schedule and go, what? We lost to Colorado?
How did we lose to Colorado? Yes. So it's like having to relive that realization. And I think Colorado, if I remember that year, that would have been my sophomore year in high school. So 2006, I believe.
So you knew enough to know that Colorado was terrible. You
right. Again, it was like immediate memory, and then few weeks before that were gone. Everything else I knew. I think Colorado may have been 0-6 when we lost.
Yes,
to them.
Yes. I'm pretty sure they were 0-4.
Yeah, I think they had not won a game.
I know where I was that day.
And we didn't. That wasn't a close game either.
I was in Jacksonville, Texas, walking around at a tomato fest.
What is a tomato fest?
So many questions.
Isn't it crazy how you can remember where you were for certain games?
Oh, absolutely.
Even if they weren't like big ones, right? You know where you were for big moments.
Well, what 30? Went on with the tomato fest? What did you do?
Like
what
at
is
a,
this?
At a rattlesnake roundup, there's all sorts of things you do. What do you do at a tomato fest?
You like mash tomatoes with your feet to make like tomato wine? Or like is there like a
peg
the poor comedian?
One tomato.
Didn't have a single tomato.
I did not have a single.
Pop the little, is that not you that likes to pop the Roma tomatoes? What's the tiny ones?
No, that's not
cherry
me.
Tomatoes?
Cherry tomatoes. Cherry tomatoes. That's not you?
So, okay. No, that's not me.
Well, you have lots of weird eating habits. I don't know if that was yours. Okay.
You're thinking of bell peppers.
Yeah,
yes, I love bell
peppers.
Eating
them like an apple.
And I will eat those on call. Yes. But okay. I do. Every time I think about Tech football against Colorado, I think of your story of, what? We lost to Colorado all night long.
Had to relive it. No, that is a very true story.
I hope you didn't mind me telling you telling your personal story.
That one on air.
Told that one on air.
But he can't remember.
Yeah, exactly. Still feeling 30, the effects from
30
that.
30-6, we lost that game.
Oh, man, it
that,
was bad.
Of all the games in the Mike Leach era, and that's the thing, you had absolute stinkers pretty well every year. Pretty well every year you would have one game that was like a duh, like how the heck did that happen?
I think you had
games that balanced it out.
Yeah.
You won one you weren't supposed to.
I think the I'm a Man game bothered me more than that one.
Really?
Yeah, I was really tight with Lyle Sensich. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I hated losing that game.
I'm saying, like,
I mean, Krebs
games that you should not have lost, just horrible
that was
games.
One of them.
And I'm sure there's Tech fans that go back, and this is pre-Leach, the North Texas days, that one.
Sure.
Those ones. But that particular game, the Colorado 2006, 30-6 loss, they were an 0-4 team before that, and you just didn't show up. That one sticks. It sticks. It didn't. It stuck extra that night. Lots extra. But hopefully we don't get anything like that again this year. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score. Duh. Like, well, how the heck did that happen?
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Appreciate you joining us on a Monday. It's the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman and Jamie Lint here in the First United Bank studio. Keep your thoughts, your comments coming in on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Jamie will have our question of the day 15 minutes from now. Did you happen to see the home run that wasn't over the weekend?
The home run that wasn't?
Was a Division I baseball game, I think. Yeah. Had to think. It was Tarleton State,
a
Division I team.
Sam Hunt strike again?
Worse situation.
Okay.
Because Sam Hunt got fooled. So, who is UVU? Tarleton State's playing UVU yesterday. I don't know who that is. They're green. Dude hits a dinger.
Is it the University of Virginia University?
It is not.
Okay.
Not.
Virginia Union, maybe?
Possibly. I guess Tarleton's in the WAC, so whatever WAC team would be UVU. Anyway, this home run, dude parks one over the left field wall. Kind of forgot to touch home plate when he comes around. I don't know how you don't do that. I saw someone on the internet compare it to dropping the football before the goal line. You know, the dumbness that...
Right. Did he come close? Did he think he stepped on it?
It looks like he's close, but the ump is standing... You could see the umpire. He is standing right there, and then they step off.
I've noticed umpires do that.
He's standing right there watching, so he's looking for it. And the ump, the guy that's coming up to bat next, just hangs his head. Just like, you got to be kidding me.
Utah Valley.
Yeah.
Utah Valley. There we go.
Thank you.
There we go. So, anyway, that happens. And that's worse than... No, it's not worse. I can't give DeSean Jackson credit. Didn't he do that like 3 or 4 times in his career? Drop the ball before the goal line?
Seems like it was more than once.
I think he did it once in college and twice in the pros. Either way, that is as bad as dropping the football before the goal line. Right? You should feel it. Because there's nothing but pride that gets in your way at that point of trying to not look or trying to look cool in your rhythm.
My guess is, okay, so you saw the highlight. Did the teammates get there right close to the plate?
They're somewhat close.
If I was coaching a baseball team, I would make sure that my team...
There's two guys, but they're clearly behind the plate. I mean, he just misses.
They're real close. They're all hovering over the plate.
I guess so.
My guy, yeah. I would train my guys to be like 2 steps beyond. Like, make him step on home plate and then take another step. Okay? And I know that we're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. I mean.
He steps to the right of the plate. The ump is staring down at it. I mean, it's pretty close from that angle.
It sure was. Yeah. And good on the other team, Tarleton, for paying attention, right? Because if they don't say anything and they don't appeal, he's not out.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big no-no. But seriously.
I guess he gets credit for a triple?
Yeah, triple is what he gets.
Too bad, man.
Now, if you needed that for the cycle, then maybe it was just a selfish play. Mm. Don't know the context there. From the Yates Flooring Center chat line, a tomato fest in Europe involves everything you could do with tomatoes, eating, crushing, but mostly pelting everyone with them. Is that what you participated in, Jamie?
I wish. That sounds like it would have been a lot of fun, especially on that day. I would have probably liked to have thrown tomatoes at people. Yeah. You know, Jacksonville is one of those cities that, like, they love their tomatoes. You should ask Coach Sands about this because this is his hometown.
Okay.
Okay. And all over town, I guess it's a fundraiser of some sort. They have like massive tomatoes that are like 2 feet tall. Okay, concrete statues of tomatoes, mm-hmm. big tomatoes. And they're all around town in different places painted different colors. It's a little bit weird.
That's a lot weird, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't remember doing anything with tomatoes at this festival, but I mean, it was carnival.
Why did you go?
That's where my parents lived, and it was like, oh, let's go down to the festival, whatever.
And you just were nice to your parents and went to the festival.
I walked around with my parents.
Did they have any, like, monster truck type advertisements?
What year was this?
06.
Okay, it was before I had kids. I mean, I know I was married. I'm sure we...
Did you have some ketchup?
There's, like, flea market or something, so we probably walked around that or something.
You probably bought, like, high-end ketchup that's hand-pressed, like...
I don't think so. I mean, the football, high school football stadium is the tomato bowl there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like Jacksonville's all about their tomatoes.
Maters.
Is that one if you're like from there, you judge the other tomatoes in other cities, like walking around the produce section, just going, these aren't Jacksonville tomatoes.
I don't know why they became such a tomato city. I mean, I don't know if huge tomato fields, areas, whatever. I don't have any idea.
No.
It's not the, no offense, it's not the nicest city in America.
Old Jacksonville. Sorry, Coach.
Coach Sands. Not listening.
Hope you're not listening.
Well, and there's nice people. He hadn't moved back there.
So.
There's some rough parts of Jacksonville. Let's just say that. Remember the McCowan brothers? All the NFL quarterbacks.
Oh yeah, all of them.
That's their high school.
All the family of backups.
Oh well,
making good money off of it.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're NFL.
Oh no, players. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good legacy to have. How much does Coach Prime's son get on NIL? Is it more than $2 million? I just looked up his NIL valuation. Is it $4.8 million? But I don't know if that's what he actually gets. So probably didn't answer your question there.
Yeah, I don't. So this one with
Osabor,
Mr. Great,
that was on campus a week ago.
Mr. Great, it does. How would you feel if you found out that he signed with Tech for $2 million?
Not very good right now, honestly.
No, if he had signed with Tech, we're like, oh great, we got a 6'8" guy. Well, this is gonna really help our team. And then you found out he made $2 million.
Clint and I said. If you're going to pay a guy $2 million in basketball, he better be first-team All-American, and he better be getting you to a Final Four. Like that's what you've got to do.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you guys. I heard you guys say that, and I thought that was that was valid. I just, like, are you to a point? I mean, this is – I'm very hypocritical with this, okay? I said this morning. Like, I talk about my favorite baseball team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And – there are plenty of people out there that are like, oh, yeah, well, your team won. Well, they got the highest payroll. Okay, who cares? Okay, isn't it just about winning? Don't you just want to win? I mean, people were ragging on the Rangers last year. Oh, yeah, but they had to buy a championship. Look at all those pitchers they bought. Who cares? You won. It's not coming out
flags
of my pocket.
Fly forever, baby.
Yeah, I don't care.
They don't put the money on the bottom of the flag.
Yeah, do you not want an owner who will spend whatever it takes to win?
Absolutely. That's been the knock for the Rangers for like a decade.
Now, do I wish Major League Baseball had a salary cap so it was more equal? Yes, I do, actually. Okay, but I'm not going to cry about it that it benefits my team because they tend to spend money, in case you didn't notice. Okay,
yeah.
That being said,
my team doesn't, but okay.
They did last year.
Oh, okay. They need to spend money on doctors is what they need to spend money on right now.
But that being said, I'm not to the point where I'm like, okay, just go buy us the best basketball team.
No,
for college basketball.
I'm not either.
I treat them differently. And again, I am fully admitting it's very hypocritical. Because with my professional sports teams, I don't care how much you spend. Go spend it.
Well,
it feels different to me.
I'm sitting there with Osabor thinking, what do his Washington teammates feel about this? And maybe it's not fair, but this guy is getting $2 million, which you know that shrinks the pot for other players. It's got to shrink the pot for other players. I don't think they're shelling out $1 million per player over in Washington for basketball, a sport they haven't been good at in a while. Mm-hmm. Good program, but what does that do? Because we saw there were a lot of money numbers floated around here 2 years ago. A lot of numbers that were, you know, quiet but not so quiet. It seemed like everybody knew Fardos was getting 400 or
I heard 450.
Kerwin was getting
another 450.
400. Okay, yeah. See, you're yeah. So, I mean, these numbers were...
That was the one that blew your mind,
fairly
right?
public. I don't know. Fardos ate it and Cheez-Its.
Did you say 450 NIL or weight? I was just double-checking.
Well done. So, yeah, I don't... And we saw what that did and then heard stories of players being like, well, if he's getting this, I should be getting this. What does $2 million do for a locker room? I'm not saying it's not manageable, but it... It can't be a great thing to have to manage. When I saw that number, it made me happy Texas Tech didn't get him. Now, I may eat my words 4 or 5 months from now, but
yeah. Yeah, you want great players.
Yeah.
I mean, you want your university and or really good boosters and donors to help, right? And you want to be able to compete.
Yeah.
And you know that's what you have to do if you're going to compete.
No doubt. It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Monday. You're listening to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Joyce Woodman, Jamie Lent, yours in the First United Bank studio. There's a baseball question for Jamie I want to get to in a little bit. One more to wrap up our basketball conversation. Well, there's two more thoughts. Sam Hunt got bamboozled. Yes. Jamie, they use the tomato production to cover for the marijuana fields. It's East Texas. And then...
Again, it's pretty sticky stuff.
And then a couple sites saying Toppin is down to Texas and Tech. Do you think it'll be a bidding war? I don't know if it's going to be a bidding war. I've seen the same stuff. I've seen a lot leaning towards Texas. So you get them, great. If not, move on. Did Trezarian White ever choose TCU? Because that's the
not
other one
yet,
too.
But I think that's like the that's leaning that's hard the towards expectation. TCU. I think Goodman put out a tweet like an hour ago. It was officially between TCU and Texas Tech, but I think the thought is it's going to take a lot for him not to go to TCU.
And again, I don't know if these are bidding wars that Tech is losing.
Literally, right?
Probably, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, just being serious, right? Clint said it's going to take a lot.
Yeah, money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
And that's what I don't know what these bidding wars are like, what the numbers are, because if you'd have told me $2 million was on the table, I would have thought you're joking. And that's what it took for Great Osabor, and you were in his top three. Top three. Now you're into top twos for Toppin and White, and do you have the money to bid, or do you want to bid that kind of money? It just, I don't know.
And what did we hear the rumor was that he was asking for 1.5 or whatever? Isn't that what we had heard last week?
Toppin or White?
I thought those were Osabor.
Osabor.
Yeah.
Oh, Osabor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if was at a certain point where Texas Tech said,
no
Una mas. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got other players we need to fill the roster too. Okay. Now let's get to Jamie's question.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score. Presented by Kinetico of West Texas. Life's hard. Your water shouldn't be.
Okay, I'm going to double dip here today. We got some good convo this morning, so I'm going to throw the same one at you this afternoon. Hope you're good with that.
That's a lot of pressure, Choice, for us to have a good convo with this now.
Yeah, don't let Jeff and Chuck beat you, too.
Convo. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, was that... like 16-year-old girl of ish.
You just commit to using Pass
Boomer.
Pro too.
I was
Pass
Pro go more and Convo Boomer than 16-year-old girl.
Man, oh, my 16-year-old used a word at some point last week that I wanted to tell you guys about.
This is why, Jamie, when you get old like us, you gotta type it into the phone, text it to yourself, or put it in your notes, or you're gonna forget it.
I can't remember what it was.
Or maybe that's just me with 7 concussions.
Maybe I was just shocked she spoke to me.
Just record, like, hold on a second. Daughter said sus.
Is that word?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
All right, anyway, here's my question.
Okay.
What are you worried about for next year's upcoming Red Raider football season? You cannot answer. Maren Morton's health.
Okay, besides Maren Morton's health...
what are you worried about?
Which is the number one answer.
I would think that would be for all three of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a... offensive line, to me, is low-hanging fruit. And it's not necessarily a worry as much as just a... just let me see it. Because I do think he really brought in some good pieces. I think... but I said that last year, too. Said that last year. Some of those didn't pan out. I look at the offensive line transfers that you got, and you got some of the better ones in the country when it came to transfer options for offensive line. So I want
to. It's easy to put an offensive line together.
Right. The meshing, and you got a new coach, too, that could be good or bad. New offensive line coach in Clay McGuire. It's not like Hamby's group was tearing it up last year, so hopefully. It's good. But offensive line is the low-hanging fruit for me.
It doesn't have to be a position group. It can be about anything.
I think when I'm going worry is, can you win on the road? That's my concern, because the first 2 years under Coach McGuire, you haven't been excellent away from home. Home schedule has been good. And I think if you're going to, you know, turn over the new leaf or take that next step, you got to find a way to win some of these games away from home. And really, against the the lesser competition. You go lose a game against a top-tier team in the Big 12 on the road, okay. You can survive that, and that's what most people do. You lose games to top-tier teams on the road. But you lost at Wyoming last year. That was the first kind of smack you in the face moment. You got games, some that are winnable on the road, like your Washington State game. Your TCU game, to me, is definitely one that is winnable going into the season. We'll see if TCU develops into anything, but I think that's going to be one of the lower-tier teams in the league. You got two really tough road games, in my opinion, in Iowa State and Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be – if the goals are for this team to compete for a Big 12 title, you need to win more games than you lose on the road. So that's where my concern lies. The home schedule should be able to take care of business pretty well here. But you want to get into that 9 or 10 win range – you're going to need to win more than you lose on the road. Last year, you won one in Lawrence, backup quarterback. But lost at West Virginia in a close game, lost in Wyoming, lost in Provo. Quarterback also had an effect on that one. Didn't show up in Austin. Largely didn't play great away from home.
I'm concerned in the press box are going to take away the bomb pops without telling us, and I don't know what we're going to do next year, you know, because that would be something they wouldn't do a big alert. No, I've got three that I'm deciding between.
Okay, I'll let you have all three of them, Clint, because I asked for two this morning, and I was going to give the same two. A choice is only allowed one, but you get three.
Oh, okay. So extra pressure over here. I'll start with, what if the young pass rushers and defensive line were expecting to do big things, don't? What if all the list of guys we've thrown out that we're kind of banking on to help with pressure and help defensively, what if you miss on all of them and your front's not very good and you're just young and not good? No, I'm not expecting that, but like in the back of my head, we still haven't seen the proven side of it yet. Mm-hmm. And it may be even with the youth of that, maybe it just takes a couple of years to get there. Maybe it takes a year to get there and it's not this year. And what if that's a mess? The other side kind of is cheating because it involves a lot of stuff, and I do think it involves the quarterback situation. I think it involves the offensive line. What if even with the receivers you've added, what if with hoping an improved offensive line, you still don't have as an explosive of an offense as you think you might have to help out Taj Brooks? I mean, what if it looks exactly the same as last year with what you expect to be better pieces? And again, almost all of my stuff is it's only because you haven't seen it yet on the field.
Yeah.
The third one is, what if we're angrier at the end of the season with a better record if you fall apart in November against better competition?
Angrier with a better record?
Well, there's a decent chance you could go 1-3 and...
I mean, like, if you go 6-6 in the regular season last year, if you have a, you know, 7 wins, 8 wins or whatever, but on the way out, you're 1-3 and you felt like you, especially if it was, you let a Big 12 championship opportunity slip away or something like that.
Yeah, the competition level in the month of November is definitely tougher. So that wouldn't be the biggest shock ever.
It was
right?
Fairly stout last year and you went 3-1.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about compared to earlier in the season.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, I'll give mine real quick. Two things. I'm just worried about the leadership that you lost with the two great defensive linemen. I just think those guys were so good on the field, off the field, on the sideline, all the above. And so I worry about that a little bit. I think leadership definitely matters in college sports. Need some veteran leaders, and I think those guys were great at it. Okay. And the other thing is, I think we've all just penciled in Taj Brooks to have this amazing season again, like he just had.
Sure.
And I just, you know, teams are going to go into these games against the Red Raiders saying, hey, let's force somebody else to beat you. And that Taj is going to have still a good year, but not a great year. I kind of compared it this morning to Gavin Cash. Gavin Cash is having a good year.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not spectacular like it was last year.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.